Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we come to you today, not only with things that are on our heart, truth of your word. And God, we offer to you ourselves, and we look to your word to guide us and encourage us today. Lord, your word tells us in Psalm 1 that blessed is the man who does not walk in wickedness or sit in the seat of but his delight is of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. God, I pray that today that you would help each of us to have a view of your word in such a way that allows us to understand that our delight is in your word. It's in your law. It's in your scripture. It's in the very words of the Bible that give us life. God, will you put light that is completely fixed on your word? It would be very easy for us to allow other things to be our delight. And I pray, Father, that you would allow us to see your truth today. God, you are good, and your word endures. And as we think about your word today, as we are transformed by the power of it, God, will you give us the things that we need today? Speak to our hearts through scripture. Speak to our hearts through your word and through the spirit that empowers us. And always, God, will you transform our lives. Simple. We ask that your word of truth and your transforming power would fill us and move us. God, you are fully capable. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your power, your love, your grace, your mercy. All of these things are part of who you are. And God, we're grateful for it. But even more than that, Lord, help us to see you in all that we do this day. For your glory, for your kingdom, for your purposes, and not our own. Lord, we know that there are difficulties that we are facing. There are struggles that we are experiencing. There are challenges that are around us that sometimes we just don't know what to do. And we thank you that you are the one that we can come to, the one that we can pray to, the one that we can offer to you the things that are heavy on our lives, and you can work. God, I pray that we would have the power by your spirit to take these difficulties, these challenges, these situations that we're in, and that we leave them at your feet, knowing, God, that you want to work, knowing that you are faithful and you will work. And so, God, thank you for that. Thank you for the power of your spirit that encourages us and gives us strength. Lord, we need it. We truly do. And so, God, will you work in us? God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we pray these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
I haven't preached with a handheld mic for a long time, so you guys are in for a treat today. All right. Hope Men will be starting out, and you'll be need to be aware of that. That's 6 a.m. And, you know, folks, something that we just want you to be aware of is that there are opportunities for you to not only learn and be discipled and to disciple others, but there are opportunities for you to serve as well. I want to just go through a couple of them. One of them is that there's an opportunity for you to be a part of the welcome team. And the welcome team is the group of folks that take care of the snacks for Stephen's Sweets and take care of the coffee and the beverages, but then also are welcoming people. And maybe you're perfect for a greeter or making coffee and stuff like that. If you are interested, let me know. We'd love to connect with you and get you plugged in. Other areas that you can serve is there's always different opportunities around the church. Maybe there's next gen stuff, or maybe there's youth stuff, or maybe there's some other ways that you might want to serve. Sometimes we just don't know if you are capable and are willing. So if you're willing and you're capable, let us know, and we'll get you plugged in the right areas. One of the areas that is in need that we have been talking about for a while is at Nixon Elementary. You've heard me talk about it, but this is a way for, if you have about an hour of time or maybe 2 hours of time during a week, you can volunteer and help over there at Nixon Elementary. Now, is it hard? Probably not. Is it fun? I guarantee it, but it's a great way for us to be involved and serve in our community, and I would really encourage you that if that's something that you would like to do, let me know. If there's other things that you are gifted at and you want to volunteer, let's take care of it, and let's communicate about those things, and let's serve the kingdom together, not just here, but in our community as well. We have some other things that are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks that I'm going to give a brief tidbit on for you today, and just going to whet your appetite of some opportunities for us as a church as we get going, but I'll be more detailed next week. First of all, we are going to begin in the coming weeks gathering together hats and gloves and mittens. Yes, mittens. You wouldn't think that Pastor Chopper would say a fun word like that, but today I am. And I know winter is not, it's sad to say, but winter's around the corner. So if we can provide some help for our friends at Nixon Elementary, that's what we want to do. So we're going to be talking about that next week, but we're just getting the mindset in your ears so that you can start thinking about when you're out and about shopping, do I see anything that I might be able to pick up to help over there? Perfect. Let's begin to do that through the rest of the month of September and October. We're going to be collecting those items. So just be thinking about that. The other thing is that we are going to be jump-starting and spending a little bit more time talking about faith promise giving. Now, if you don't know what faith promise giving is, this is how we care for our missionaries. And we need to just be a little bit laser focused on our faith promise giving. And so we'll be talking about that specifically next week, and we'll give you a full rundown of what that means. But if you're just thinking about what in the world is faith promise giving and how can I be connected to that, we'll share more. But if you are eager, talk to me today. I would love to share some more with you, but we're going to be talking about that in the coming weeks. It's how we care for our missionaries. That's the basics. But folks, we got ways to serve. We got ways to help, and I would love to be connected with you in that. So today is like the big kickoff for our children's church. So kids, if you are aged 4 to 5th grade, you are dismissed to meet your leaders in the back, and they're going to go and lead you for children's church today. And as they do that, you guys buckle up, grab your Bibles, and we're going to get to hear God's word for us today. So if you were to think of a word, a phrase, how might you finish that phrase, God is? Well, perfect. I love it. God is. We're going to be taking some time over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking about the characteristics of God. Maybe you think of God and you think immediately about loving Father or faithful or provider or healer. Or maybe there's another number of phrases that you might use. Maybe for you, it's not as positive. It's distant, judgmental, angry. No matter how you might answer that question, how you think about God really has an incredible impact on your life. A.W. Tozer, a prolific writer and pastor, says, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So how do we build a proper biblical foundation about God? Because how we view God influences us. And by extension, it influences other relationships. Something that is true is that our enemy, the devil, Satan, is constantly attempting to distort our view of God. And one of his primary tactics from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, what he did was distorted the view of Adam and Eve when he questioned, did God really say? And he distorted their view of God. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be, and this is where you're going to have a fun challenge of me keeping the mic in front of my face as I go from side to side, everybody. There are times when a specific characteristic of God stands out more than others. And we get to experience those ways in which God allows a specific character to speak to us, to guide us. Maybe it's the enduring love of God is really evident for a season, for a purpose. Or there's the grace of God that just is experienced in a unique way, or the mercy is also felt. The truth is that God is a lot of things. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at these. So, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 102. And we're going to look at the first 11 verses. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse, for I eat ashes as my food, and I mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow, and I wither like grass. Not the most encouraging set of words, right? Not at all. this particular writer seemingly is going through it. Going through difficulty. I mean, wow, this guy sounds like things are just a struggle, that things are difficult, that they're hard, that they're that things are just so complex and life is changing, and he's feeling all of this with all the feels that he can possibly get in this situation, and it's an uncertainty that is not easy for him right now. He's experiencing a lot. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt as if things are just a bit out of your control? That life, it seems, is moving at a pace that is just frantic and difficult, and changes are getting out of hand? Just when you think that things are under your control, that you got a grasp on everything, all of a sudden life hands you another change, and sometimes we like to throw out the term that softens the blow a little bit, that this is just a little transition in life, when in all reality, it's a big, major change. And I'm guilty of utilizing that word transition because I think it softens the blow of change. Anybody else feel that way? Sweet. I'm glad you do, because that's how I feel sometimes. But life is real, isn't it? Life is difficult. It's hard. There's things that we go through that we just are like, what in the world is going on right now? And we feel it a little differently at different times of the year and different times of our lives. And we find ourselves in these moments where we just don't know what to do. Over time, our lives change, our families change, our bodies change, our metabolism changes, our vision changes, our eating habits change, the traffic patterns change, and you name it, sooner or later we realize that everything is changing and we feel like life is out of control. Anybody besides me feel that today? The psalmist continues in chapter 102, verses 25 and following. He says this: "In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them. And they will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Did you catch that? Did you catch what the psalmist is saying about God? He's saying that God is constant, that he is enduring, that he is faithful. Another term that we could utilize is immutable. Basically saying that God does not experience change like you and I. God doesn't change. While our minds change, we change our hair, we change our many different things about us, our dress, our style. God does not. He's immutable. He's consistently enduring and faithful. When you're feeling change, when life is bearing down on you with tons of change, with tons of difficulty, with tons of uncertainty, the thing that you can take to heart is that God is immutable. He's unchanging. He's consistent. He's enduring. God is faithful. And to be honest with you, this morning I have needed this characteristic of God in a unique way. I've needed to be reminded of his faithfulness. And I needed to be reminded and astonished that the moments when I have just been overwhelmed with change, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness. And he's done it in unique ways over the last 3 weeks. It's been a theme for 3 weeks where God has just shown up and shown me his faithfulness in unique ways. One of those was in a chapel service at Indiana Wesleyan University when we were dropping off our son. The song said this: God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You are faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness. From the rising sun to the setting of the same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness. And maybe today you needed to be reminded of those words, that God in all of his consistency is faithful. God is faithful. So therefore ends our sermon right there. Done. What you don't know is you're in trouble, because I got a lot more left. So what is it about God and his unchanging nature? Well, we need to take a look at this a little bit deeper, and I hope that you can really focus with me for a little bit, because I really want to look into Scripture and look at God's true nature of his unchangingness, his faithfulness, but then also deal with the contrast of where times we think, because we attribute human perspectives to God and try to make him think or make it look like he does change. So let's dig in a little bit and let's talk about the immutability of God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says this: I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. So God does not change. That's what Malachi is telling us. And then in Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus also takes on this character of immutability, this characteristic of unchanging nature, and applies it to him and his life as well. And so far, that's what it looks good, doesn't it? That God doesn't change. Now let's take a look at Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So the person who is writing Numbers is asking the question, if God doesn't change, can God change his mind? Well, you and I can change our mind like no other, right? We can be completely satisfied with Olive Garden's soup, salad, and breadsticks and enjoy that all day long. And then the next week, we'll be like, no, I changed my mind. I don't want that anymore. Had a bad experience. We'll never eat there ever again. And you would be wrong in missing out in breadsticks and wonderful salad, right? But isn't that just how we work? We had a bad experience, so we'll never go back there. Or we had a bad experience at this place, and we won't go to get those things at that place any longer. And it's crazy. But we change our mind constantly. It's like the bandwagon fan that continues to jump ship whenever their team is not doing well. And I would be jumping ship all the time because my teams are not doing well. Except we don't know about one of those today, because the Broncos play later on today. Okay. All right. Selfless plug. Anyways, so the question is, does And can God change his mind? If he does not change, can he change his mind? And when we look at scripture, sometimes we have this questioning of, does God do that? In Exodus chapter 32, we encounter an amazing story where Moses is up on the mountain with God, and he is just cozying up to God, and he's getting the Ten Commandments, and he's getting everything handed to him about what's going on. And then all of a sudden God says, well, hey, look down the mountain. Your people are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. They've taken all the gold that they can, and they've fashioned it into a calf, and they're starting to dance and worship and do all that stuff. And it's amazing what happens next. God is ready to wipe them out. God is ready to tell them, that's enough. I'm done. I've had it. And he's ready to destroy the people of Israel, and Moses steps in. Moses goes to bat, and what does verse 14 says? It says, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Relented. We read that, and sometimes relented will be he changed his mind. And here's where the issue lies. It's actually a complex, serious issue that gets thrown in here, and it's a question, because if we're saying that God can't change his mind, but then we look in scripture and it says that he doesn't change his mind, and he doesn't change, and all of that, and then all of a sudden you have a passage like this, you're like, what in the world is going on? I'm confused. Anybody else confused at what's going on? Fantastic. There's one of you. And when we deal with this, there's just this issue that we have to wrestle with. And here's the serious question. If God doesn't change, can he change his mind? Well, an open theist would say God's plans are not fixed. Meaning, they would take this Exodus verse very literally, and in short, God can change his mind. That's what an open theist would say. Now, there is a huge word, and I'm going to butcher it, but I'm not even going to spell it for you, but it's a good word. It's called anthropomorphism. This is a way in which we do some silly things in life, and anthropomorphism is where we attribute human characteristics to something that is not human, okay? Think of any of your favorite animal Disney characters like Zootopia, where the Zootopia characters are running around in complete clothing because animals wear clothing, right? No, and they never should. No hats, no little cute jackets for your cats and dogs, or they talk. Animals don't necessarily talk. Even the ones that you've seen on reels on Instagram or Facebook where the dog sounds like it's saying hello, it's not. It's barking in a way that is making noise that sounds like. But the truth is that anthropomorphism is where we take an attributing human characteristic and putting it on something that is not human. God is spirit. And so therefore, God in his spiritness and God in all of his attributes, it appears, because the way that we write, we attribute to God human characteristics. And so that's where we see, like, when Moses was writing the account of creation, and Adam and Eve are walking in the cool of the evening with God, the Spirit of God doesn't necessarily walk. I don't know how that works, but the Spirit does what the Spirit does, right? And that's a way that we see this anthropomorphism. And so when Moses attributes physical, human attributes to God, that's what we're seeing here. Because God speaks in a different way, maybe. Maybe God speaks and works in a different way. And in our limited capabilities, we attribute to God human characteristics. And so the question really boggles our mind, doesn't it? Does God change his mind? And I tend to think that anthropomorphism is a way that we, in our limited capabilities, try to express who it is that we're interacting with in God, and it makes things a little bit different, don't they? And so the next question is what do we do with, if God doesn't change his mind, should we pray? Oh, let's just muddy the waters even more, right? No. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God in all of his goodness, God in all of his wisdom, even though he doesn't change, he still hears us when we pray. But when we pray, he's going to answer those prayers with things according to his will. But James just said that we don't have because we don't ask. So what do we do with that? Well, God does both, and he gives us what we ask, but he also gives it in a way that is according to his will and his love for us. And we don't pray just to get what we want, not at all. But we pray to get to know God, to know his will, because God wants us to ask. Don't you, as a parent, want your kids to ask you for stuff? Now, if it's constantly and all day long, that's a little bit much, right? By then, we're just tired of it. But as they age and they start realizing that they want to be with you and present with you, that you love them and that you would love to get them what they need, not just because they asked for it. And prayer reminds us that we are not in control, and it keeps us close to the one who is. So God doesn't change. There's an immutability to this God that we serve. So for the rest of our time, I want to talk about God's three characteristics of God's immutability. Number one, God's word never changes. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. His word, his promises, his truths, his word never changes. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This word is a living word. It is true in all of its ways. It is lasting. It is the book of ages. I've heard someone say that this isn't just the book of today or the book of this week, but it is the book of ages that continues on and has truth forever, and it always will, and it always will be. And it's living, and it's powerful. And if we were to read it and take the truths of it, it would change our lives. So we read it, and it will give you hope, and it will always, always be true. The other is that God's character never changes. Think about it for just a moment. His wisdom, or rather, his wisdom is not something that he had to learn. He just is wisdom. His love that he has isn't something that he had to experience. He is just love. And his mercy wasn't something that he had to be given. It's not something that he had to receive from somebody else. It is just who he is. He is mercy. He's always present, never leaving. And in all of that, we can trust in God's word in Romans 8, 35 through 39 that says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from him, because his love, his character, everything about him continues on. It does not change. Finally, remember the former things, those of long ago in Isaiah 46. I am God. There is no like me. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Because there is none like God, because there is no other like him, and he does not change, his character never changes. It is consistent. It is faithful to the very end, and we can trust it. When you're dealing with changes and you're dealing with the difficulty of life and you're dealing with unknown circumstances that are bombarding you from left, right, up, down, north, south, east, west, wherever it's coming from, you can trust in the nature that is God, because he does not change. When life throws anything at you, you can know that you can trust him, because he does not change. And we need that in today's world. We need to be reminded that he is faithful. We need to be reminded that he does not change as the wind blows, but there is a consistency and a loving God that does not change. And nothing can stop that. And maybe you're thinking, well, hold on. You don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. You don't know what difficulties I'm going through. It doesn't matter what difficulties we're going through. It matters that we have a God that we can trust in, that his promises never change. And that's the last point, is that his promises never change. God and his faithfulness continues on. His word continues on. It does not change. While everyone else does, because people are fickle, but God is not. God is faithful. People change. People don't follow through. People don't listen. People are fickle. God is faithful. And his promises never change. No matter what you're facing, God's promises are yes and amen. He promises that when you hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength and fly and soar on the wings of eagles. He promises that there will be no weapon that is formed that can stand against, that no weapon formed against you will stand. He promises that even though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, because God is with you and his rod and his staff comfort you. He promises that his compassions never fail and his mercies are new every morning. And someone say, great is his faithfulness. He promises that the weeping that we may experience will remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He promises that any temptation that seizes you is common, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you cannot bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And somebody needs to hear that today, that he promises that you will have a way out. And he promises that if you do fall into that temptation and if you do fall into that sin, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he is just, and our sins, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and his promises are true. And he promises that we are overcomers, that we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I already read this, but I'm going to read it again because it's powerful and somebody needs to hear it today. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He promises that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. He promises that you have resurrection power, that the same spirit that dwells in you is the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and there is resurrection power that is in you. Will you trust in the promises of God that is immutable, that is faithful to the very end? Will you trust in these promises? And will you trust that when you cast all your cares upon him, he walks with you because he cares for you? And he promises that it is by grace you have been saved. Not by your religiosity, not by coming to church, not by serving in any sort of capacity, but you have been saved by grace through faith. Not from yourselves, but a gift of God. Will you trust in those promises? And will you trust that when you are in Christ, you are a new creation? And he doesn't just leave you as a new creation, but he goes and prepares a place for you. And in that place for you, he will have a promise of return to take you home when it is time. And that will be a place where there is no more tears, no more crying, but that it'll be a perfect place with God Almighty, who loves us with all of who he is. And he is faithful and he's consistent. And his love for you never changes. His grace is a gift present for you. We just receive it. So we have an immutable, faithful, constant God. And this week you can trust in his promises. You can trust that his word will not change. You can trust that he will be with you because he loves you and he cares for you. And you can trust that his character will never change. And God, this morning, we just needed to hear your word to us today. We needed to wrap within us your word that is powerful. And God, we worship and knowing that your word does not change. We worship and know that you and your character doesn't change. And your promises are faithful because, God, you are faithful. You've shown it to us through the ages that you are constant and consistent. And there's no doubt in our minds that you, God, are anything less. And God, I pray that this morning we will hold on to these truths. Hold on to the fact that you are faithful beyond our understanding. That when all things change around us and when everything is just up in arms, we know that there is a place, there is a place in which we can reside, and that is in your arms, knowing that you are faithful and you endure and your love goes on and on and on and it does not stop. And we can trust in who you are. And so, God, with all our heart, with all our soul, we ask, Father, that you would speak to our heart today. Remind us of your great love for us. And Lord, when we endure difficulty this week, God, will you remind us of your character? Remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us of who you are so that we can rest in that. Because God, sometimes we need to rest in your truth and not be so prone to be anxious or worry or any of that, and trust in you above all things. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you for the ways in which you speak. We thank you for the ways in which you provide for us the knowledge of your faithfulness. And we pray this in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Lee and Carrie, if you guys will come, we need to have a little bit of a reminder of God's powerful grace for us and his returning love for us. And as we sing that great gospel song that we know so well, I'll Fly Away, why don't you stand and we'll sing together. Thanks so much for being at worship with us today. Look forward to worshiping with you in the coming days.